the host of Out There here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we
live out of state. And you're listening to Out There today. Today is Friday, June 12th, 2026. Let me get my volumes adjusted here a little bit. Last week, last Friday for Out There. Oh, by the way, Out There airs Fridays from 4 until 5. But last Friday on Out There, I forgot to hit this studio button until about 16 minutes into my show. Well, which meant I wasn't live on air. Some automated thing played. Thanks, Mark, for putting the automated thing in. But it's just as well that I wasn't on air, because by the time I found out I wasn't, I was probably saying some words that shouldn't have been said on air. So for today's show, I have clips from last Friday's June 6th, I can't say it's like the first ever, but the first of its type, Juneteenth, official Juneteenth celebration in downtown Northampton. Now, Juneteenth is actually next Friday, but, well, the young woman who was the key organizer behind this, Kendall, she was graduating from Northampton High School on the 7th of June, so maybe they scheduled that around her graduation. I don't know. Anyway, it was last Saturday. I have lots of interviews from people who, like lots of artists at the Juneteenth event. Also, today I have a clip from a friend, Gina, about getting off of Amazon, ending her Amazon account and the challenges of that logistically, and just how it affected her life a little bit about the whole online shopping thing. I should let her speak for herself. Okay. So, without further ado, I'll tell some more stories. I guess I'll start, tell something about the week. So if you're a regular listener to Out There, you've heard me talk about Cans for Cancer a lot. This week, so Cans for Cancer at Valley Recycling, people donate their redeemable cans and bottles to us. And this week, we had to take that truckload of redeemables to North Adams. It's the next nearest redemption center in Western Mass after Greenfield, and Greenfield couldn't take us this week. And fortunately, I have a new housemate who's looking for work, who used to drive a 26-foot flatbed truck around the streets of Boston, redistributing bikes for Boston's bike share. So he had no problem driving a 26-foot U-Haul around the hills of Western Massachusetts. And so the place that we go is called Be Fair in North Adams, and they employ people with disabilities or, I don't know, brain injury or things like that. I'm not sure how that's technically described. But it's a pretty cool program. I like going there. And they sort things there. And then a lot of the things, so they sort for their distributors to pick up a few different distributors, the Budweiser distributor and the Coke distributor. And then the Tomra truck takes the bulk of it, I believe. And you may have seen that, like, if you ever go into Liquors 44 and put deposits in one by one, you'll see the machines say Tomra on them. And Tomra is the big company that picks up all these redeemables. Anyway, as far as I know, based on a conversation that I had with a Tomra driver a couple of months ago who was picking up behind Liquors 44, he was loading the pallets of crushed redeemables onto the back of the tractor trailer, and some uncrushed. I asked him, I was like, where do you go with this stuff? And he said, I believe he said that he drives out to New Bedford, to the port in New Bedford, and pallets of those materials go, I'm guessing they get shipped out, some of them. But the point I'm getting to is that we drove this truck from Northampton out to North Adams, which is like the northwest corner of Massachusetts. And then a bunch of that stuff was then going to get picked up by a truck to come back to the southeast corner of Massachusetts, to New Bedford. And the inefficiencies, like when I think about the inefficiencies of the systems of, I don't know, transportation, consumption, materialism, like, gosh, like if you think about how much energy and trucking, how much went into these the bottled drinks to begin with? Like, where did the water come from? Where did the cans, the bauxite, the stuff for plastic, where did it all come from to get become a drink on the shelf at Stop and Shop or River Valley Market or wherever? And then went to someone's house and they brought it to out to Cancer. Then we trucked it up to North Adams and they got trucked back to New Bedford. You know, when I think about the whole trail of these consumer goods and items, probably that truck ride from Northampton to North Adams was probably the least of my environmental concerns. Hey, at least they were empty and they weren't, you know, full of water or something that's like 99% water being trucked around. Water. It's a hot day. Don't forget to drink water. On that topic, I guess I'll start today's clips with Gina. And yeah, Gina and I were working on bikes in my backyard yesterday. And I don't know how it came up, but I said, Gina, let me record that. I want to play it on my, can I record that and play it on my radio show? She said, sure. Gina, you were just telling me something that you did thinking about the environment and other impacts. Can you continue what you were saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was pretty proud of myself because I got rid of my Amazon account, and they make it pretty hard to get rid of. But you have to say you don't want it, and then you have to follow up, and then you have to agree that you're not gonna do. It's like a three-step process, so they really make it hard so that you can. Wow. Be like, oh, you know, yeah, never mind. It's too hard. I'll just keep it.
Gosh.
But yeah, I realized that the ease of it, you know, I would be like, oh yeah, I need this. Oh yeah, I need this. And then what I was doing is it would be like, okay, do you want things in separate boxes to, you know, to help? And I'd be like, no, I need this today. Uh-huh. So, you know, when you think about these trucks, going back and forth, I would be like, yeah, no, I need this day. So, you know, the vehicles and all of the pollution and everything were more because I decided that I needed it sooner. So the trucks were going back and forth. Uh-huh. And then I also realized that once I got it, then I would be like, oh, I don't actually need this. So then I would spend multiple days being able to figure out what I was going to return. So then I was just taking all kinds of time deciding what I was going to return. And then I would take my free time to return it all. Uh-huh. So again, taking up all that time and going back and forth, you know, again, wasting gas and the pollution and everything to return everything. And it was just, it was too much. It was too much for so many different reasons. Right. So I finally got rid of it and I feel so much more at ease. And then once I did, then I was like, oh, well, I still need this maybe or that maybe. But then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll go to Etsy or maybe I'll, you know, look on Marketplace or some, you know, try to get it free or try to get it at a reduced price. So then I decided that I was going to do more local and not, you know, this evil 1%.
How long had you had the account?
Oh God. Probably 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was a long time.
Huh. How, what, like, did it affect your, what do your family members think about you ending the account?
My daughters were very proud of me. Some of my friends are proud, but they're like, I can't see myself doing it. My daughters are 20 and 21. I have a 9-year-old also, but it, you know, she doesn't really get it that much. But my older daughters, you know, think it's evil and they don't use it.
Yeah. But the thing you say about the ease, they just make it so easy to just buy
stuff. It's one click. It's literally, and you know, and you can set it up so that it's just, you don't even have to think. You're just like, and then you can add things. Super easy. You're just like, you just like swipe, and then all of a sudden you've added all of this stuff to your cart, and then it's going to come, and then you can, you know, you can do it so that it's overnight. And yeah, like I said, I didn't even think about before I bought it. It was just every day I was doing it. I would be like, oh, I need this. Oh, I wouldn't even put much thought into it. I would just be like, I need this. I need that. And then I didn't, you know, like I would think twice about it, but I've already bought it.
Was there anything that like was sort of like a tipping point for you to make you think about things differently?
I guess I finally got to the point, because, you know, I had said it like so many times, like, oh, I'm going to do this. And then I realized that, but I always had, you know, returns to do. I always had, well, this is going to be coming in, so I can't do it yet. Oh, I have all these returns, so I can't do it yet. So I realized that, okay, once I do, like, this is the day I'm going to get rid of all my returns, I can do it. And then I was like, okay, everything's done, everything's settled, and now is the time.
Wow, good for you. Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. That was my friend Gina. Nick, well, that I'm thinking of bikes, because we were working on bikes at the time. There will be bike lab tomorrow, Saturday, June 6th. June 13th. So the conversation with Gina made me think of something I read recently, talking about how, you know, when you see the price tag on something, it's a more realistic price tag to say something like, oh, it's $69.95 plus the rainforest and the Amazon. Which that reminds me of Nemante Nankimo. She's an Amazonian leader. And one of the things that she wrote in Time magazine that I really like, I'm just going to read a little excerpt from that. We Wairani like to walk. When we need to think, we head off walking in the forest. When we want to express our emotions, we walk and sing. Our songs, too, are fruits of the forest. Whenever we walk, we are in communication with everything around us. We know the plants and the birds in the way city dwellers know the names of streets and the logos of stores. But streets do not breathe and stores do not take flight. The forest is our grocer, our pharmacy, our hardware store, our theater, our gym, our park. We cultivate our small orchards and walk the forest to hunt and to gather food, medicine, tools, and beauty and art supplies. Politicians and oil executives think that we're idiots, that we plod among the trees picking things up that look yummy. They say that we don't even know the value of the resources beneath the ground, but that's how they show their own ignorance. The oil deep in the earth is the blood of our ancestors, and we know better than to dig up a grave. Why pillage a grave when life is all around us? We don't need oil. The forest is life itself. We know which plants can heal and which songs to sing to ask permission for cutting them and using their cures. We know that the Potomo palm fruits in January and February, and that its oil is excellent for maintaining long, shiny hair and healthy skin. We know that the monkeys and the tapirs time their reproductive cycles to coincide with fruit abundance. We know that the peach palm makes the best spears. We know not to use more than we need. Jumping ahead, she says, I often feel heartbroken when I travel abroad to speak about our struggle. I see how many possessions and luxuries people have and how they only want more. Their greed fuels the burning of the Amazon. Some people on those trips tell me I'm a hero. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to do something. This is resistance. A few words from Nemante Nankimbo. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And here's a few words from Macklemore and Ryan.
I was 7 years old when I got my first pair. And I stepped outside and I was like, Mama, this air bubble right here, it's gonna make me fly. I hit that court, and when I jumped. I swear I got so high. I touched the net. Mom, I touched the net. This is the best day of my life. Air Maxes were next. That air bubble, that mesh.
The box, the smell, the stuffing, the tread at school. I was so cool, I knew that I couldn't crease them. My friends couldn't afford them. Four stripes on their Adidas. On the court, I wasn't the best, but my kicks were like the pros. Yo, I stick out my tongue so everyone could see that logo. Nike Air Flight book bag was so dope. And then my friend Carlos's brother got murdered for his fours. Whoa. See, he just wanted a jump shot, but they wanted to start a cult, though. Didn't want to get caught from Genesee Park to Othello. You could clam for those probings with the Velcro, those were not tight. I was trying to fly without leaving the ground, because I wanted to be like Mike, right? Wanted to be him, I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to touch the rim, I wanted to be cool, and I wanted to fit in. I wanted what he had. America, it begins. What we can't have, the commodity makes us want it. So expensive, damn, I just got to flaunt it. Got to show 'em, so exclusive, this, that new shit. $100 for a pair of shoes, I would never hoop in. Look at me, look at me, I'm a cool kid. I'm an individual, yeah, but I'm part of a movement. My movement told me be a consumer, and I consumed it. They told me to just do it, I listened to what that swoosh said. Look at what that swoosh did, see it consume my thoughts. Are you stupid? Don't crease them, just leave them in that box. Strangled by these laces, laces, I can barely talk. That's my air bubble and I'm lost. If it pops, we are what we wear what we are. But see, I look inside the mirror and thick film night tricked us all. Will I stand for change or stay in my box? These Nikes help me define me, but I'm trying to take mine off. Started out with what I wear to school that first day. Like, these are what make you cool. And this pair, this would be my parachute. So much more than just a pair of shoes. Nah, this is what I am, what I wore. This is the source of my youth. This dream that they sold to you. $400 and some change. Consumption is in the veins. And now I see it's just another pair of shoes.
That's Macklemore and Ryan Lewis with Wings. Gosh, after that song, I feel like I need to play another song to relax. This song was intense. You say it. That's right. You say it. So I will play next. I have the promised clips from the Juneteenth Festival in downtown Northampton last Saturday. Oh, no, not that clip. All right. Let's give me the right button here. Let me start this over again, because you know how I am with the buttons here in the studio. And here at downtown Northampton's Juneteenth celebration. And this tent, what's your name?
Jasmine Thomas.
And can you describe the tent that you're
staffing. We are at the art tent. I don't know.
we made it up because we wanted to contribute to this celebration. This is Yumi. Hi. So Yumi and Jasmine are muralists and artists in Northampton. And we wanted to give an art experience to the community. And the Youth Council sponsored it, along with the Arts Council, Northampton Youth Commission? Northampton Youth Commission?
Northampton Youth Commission. Yeah.
Commission. Sorry. Quiet voice.
Sorry, I might have a WhatsApp call coming in. I have a silence.
Quiet voice.
Oh, well, what's a recording with a little vibration in it?
So you have, it's like a printout of a mural that you all did at the Four Rivers Charter School in Greenfield?
Yes. So the students in Greenfield wanted an image representing the diversity of the school, and then they felt like they didn't have very much, and they came to us as artists to say, how can we show that we appreciate diversity even though we don't know we have it, and we recognize that there is diversity even when we don't realize it on the surface. And our mural depicts many different hands sewing a tapestry. It has a quote from Tarana Burke of the Me Too, who started the Me Too movement. It says, we are the needle that sews the thread that stitches history together. And so these hands are sewing textiles from around the world. And today they're textiles from around Northampton and the world, because we had an artist from Jamaica come and paint a little flag there and the bracelet. And so their details are really showing up.
Jasmine, you have to go.
Not yet.
Oh, okay,
not
good.
Yet. I have like 30 minutes.
Okay. Can you, how did you and Yumi get involved in making this mural? Or can you describe like some of the art that you do in the community?
We should shout out Commonwealth Murals.
Yes.
And we should also shout out Chart Pack Art Supplies, because they donated the art supplies today. We're so grateful to them. They donate to schools. They're incredibly supportive with art supplies. So they donated all the art supplies today, and they also donated the paper, which is, somebody estimate, to 3 by 6, at least, 3 feet by 6 feet long, and it was printed at Copycat Ink. Commonwealth Murals is a muralist organization we painted together last summer, and they are running right now. They're preparing a mural training course where you, listeners, dear listeners, can be paid to learn how to paint murals in the tradition that they're doing in Springfield right now.
We both took the training course in 2024, and that's how I got started in the area. I had taken a training course in Philly prior to this, but Commonwealth Murals introduced me to the mural community in Western Mass.
What other kinds of art do you do? What were you doing before that?
So I am a painter. I've been a painter pretty much my whole life. I'm also a fashion designer. I have degrees in both, so do them both equally.
If people are interested in seeing your art, where can they see it?
I post some of my art on Instagram. My Instagram handle is JasmineSade_art. That's JasmineSade_art. Yeah.
Are there other murals in Western Mass that you've done?
Yeah, so we worked on one in Springfield a couple years ago on off of State Street. Called The Young, the Old, and the Beautiful. That was a recreation of a previous mural by Nelson Stevens and Afro-Cobra, which was an art group in the 70s.
Which started with murals in Chicago.
Yes.
And moved around and ended up in Springfield and Roxbury and around the country, really, because they believed in the collective artist, that everybody works together to help each other as an artist group. So it was very moving to us and inspiring. Napoleon Jones Henderson worked with us, so we remember him, and the Art for the Soul Gallery. I've just handed somebody a booklet of Nelson Stevens' legacy. He painted 36 murals in Springfield, and Jasmine grew up in Springfield.
Yes.
Roots.
Do you have plans? Are you working on other upcoming murals?
Yes. Not sure what they will be yet, but
did the East Hampton.
Well,
color? Did you
I did.
That?
I did just work on a mural in East Hampton, for a place called Chickadee Karaoke. They're opening soon in East Hampton with an artist named Sharona Color. They were her designs, so really excited about that. Go check those out.
She did the vegetables. She led that project right here where we are in the Tuesday Farmers Market area. Sharona Color is a wonderful muralist, local muralist. So we like to work together as muralists. And Northampton was planning to work with the Youth Commission. We were hoping in this spring to put a mural on the side of the Greenfield Savings Bank. And we talked about the Youth Commission about 3 years ago had a forum for young people to talk about how they feel walking around in downtown Northampton. And a lot of people, female presenting people, talked about not feeling safe, getting catcalled. And so we brainstormed strong images of women and that strength is a different kind of thing, self-defense. We actually ended up featuring Amy Salmon of Positively Africana because not only does she have an incredible market of beautiful work, but she also teaches Zumba dance, which makes us strong, and is a community leader. So, and her beautiful purple hair made a beautiful center to the mural. So the bank is having renovations, so we laid that project down, but they are planning, the Youth Commission is planning to support a mural in the coming year, school year. But stay tuned.
So in the art that you do you have any kind of like a general message that you like to get across to viewers?
Community, the importance of community, making a beautiful like space for the community to be in with our art and just everybody coming together to make something.
That's beautiful, Jasmine. I second that, and I think also the importance of each of us doing our part. So everybody can, and it's going to look different the way we do things. But so the it's community too from that.
Yeah, murals seem to have this magical kind of thing. What do you think causes that? How does that come about?
I have some thoughts. What do you think? I think that they live outside. They don't always live outside, but when they're outside, they're public art, and they're really for everybody. So you can be alone with it, you can be in a group with it, but it's kind of making a space intentionally welcoming is what we, or like our message of community. I've been doing murals for a long time. I took a little break, but I always thought it was like a billboard for community.
Right.
Like it's the public rather than an advertisement for a product or something.
I feel like everybody's an artist, so it kind of taps into that part of themselves that, you know, connects them to everybody else visually, and they want to put their mark on what it is, whatever everybody else is being part of.
I think we especially like to include other people in our in the work. Like, you put your hands in and put some color in.
That participation in a big project like that. I also think of it as like, you know, people like to go to the movie theater and have like a big screen. It's kind of like standing in front
Something
of the big
nice
screen.
About a big, well, the difference between a big empty wall or a big broken down wall and flowers, they don't have to be everywhere, but you turn a corner and you see something wonderful.
One of the things I do with my sisters when they visit is to walk around and show the various murals that are here and find new ones that we hadn't seen before.
We hope that Northampton will have more murals. Holyoke has a lot of wonderful murals. Springfield has a lot of wonderful murals. And Amherst is getting some murals, but we hope Northampton can paint outside. And the Arts Council is supportive. And actually, I think that's Brian Foote walking this way.
Well, thank you all for your murals.
Jasmine Thomas.
Hi.
All right. That was Yumi Winley and Jasmine Thomas. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. I'm your host, Ruthie. That clip was from this past Saturday's Juneteenth celebration in downtown Northampton behind Thorne's Marketplace. I got more clips from that. And next to Yumi and Jasmine's tent, we have... What's your name?
My name is Elsie Adeboy. And I'm the owner and founder of Auntie Elsie's Oatmeal Crisps, best cookies on earth, on the planet. Uh-huh. And we are a wholesale and retail business. If you go on our website, auntieelsies.com, you can find all the information you need.
Can you share anything about how you started this business?
Actually, I started because when I was pregnant with my daughter, I was craving some oatmeal cookies, but then I couldn't have the regular oatmeal because it was so heavy. So I decided to just kind of make my own because I couldn't find anything.
Yes.
And that's how it started.
How long ago was that?
That was 26 years ago.
Huh. Are you the, are you said daughter?
Yes, I am.
How old are you?
25 now.
Right. How do you like the cookies?
I love them.
You're not tired of them?
Nope, I can never get tired of them.
Well, that is a compliment or credit, whatever you have to call it, right there.
Yeah, it's a testament to how good they are.
Do you help out in the baking?
Yes, I do. I mainly do a lot of bagging, but yeah, help out when I can.
Yeah. What's your name?
Enyo.
Cool. Anything else you want to add?
No, I can't think of anything.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What's your name?
My name is Arpad Bowman.
Arpad eating an apple. Yeah, sorry to interrupt your apple.
You're good.
And can you, so you have an art tent here. Can you describe your art a little bit?
I have a table, it's Arco Art, and I mostly sell my prints and my originals. It's mostly acrylic and marker, and I just sell it to get my art out there, you know?
Uh-huh. Feel free to stop and talk with people.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I forgot that clip was interrupted, so I restarted it here in a minute.
So can you describe your style of art a little bit?
My art is mostly just like, I can do like abstract. I do a lot of anime stuff, and then I kind of just like go where the wind takes me, you know?
Uh-huh.
And like I can do a lot of pen, or I just did this charcoal one for my art class. Uh-huh. Just a bunch of different random stuff, you know?
So the woman that just stopped by asked questions that were on my mind. She was like, so I don't understand anime. It just looks so violent.
Yeah. Like, my thing is like, there's different aspects of it, and it's not just, anime isn't just, like, violence. The anime that's violent is called a shonen, and it's mostly talking about violence, but that doesn't mean it's only that. It's like, if you watch a show that deals with fighting, or like a cop show, it doesn't only deal with cops and different cases, or, like, you ever watch Bones? Like, that's not really, like, a show just about, what's it called? Like, detective stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not... There's other stuff to it, and you just gotta watch the show to do it.
Uh-huh.
And, like, to figure out what it's about.
Uh-huh. So, like, what is anime?
Anime is just a, it's the Japanese version of animated shows.
Uh-huh.
It's not, like, it's just... That's just the way it is framed, or, like, words.
Uh-huh. And what's the relationship with Pokemon?
Pokemon is great. It's a great starter anime that talks about friendship. You have a ball and you put an animal in it and then you have two of them fight.
Uh-huh.
Pretty easy, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned art class.
Yeah.
Where you have...
I go to Amherst High. They have a pretty good art program and I love everything about it. Like, it's like... They really push you to do new things and, like, try new things. I have never done a charcoal piece, but they had me do it as, like, a final project, which was really annoying. But I did it, and I loved it, you know?
What year are you?
I'm a junior in high school.
You just finished your junior, you're going into junior?
I'm finishing off junior year. I'm still in school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's school get over?
18th of July. Of June.
Okay. How did you start into, like, when did you start, like, making prints and stickers and for sale?
Like, in the past, like, three years, kind of. But I started doing it because I felt like I could put my art out there, and I feel like it could be appreciated to the fullest extent.
Where can people see it?
On my Instagram, Arpad Bowman.
Can you spell that?
Arpadbowman.
Thanks.
Yeah,
anything else you want to say?
Just don't stop being creative and keep going with your passion in life.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
thinking, all right, I need everybody's attention right now, right now, right now I need your attention. All right, first of all, I want to thank the people who made, who got me here, you know what I'm saying, and always been positive forces in Northampton, and that is Brian Foote, always working hard. Force. You know what I mean? There's a couple other people. I know Felicia's here. They all, we did, you know, and none of this stuff could be possible, you know what I'm saying? Not just this event, but there's other great events that have been going on. I just want to tell you once again, thank y'all for letting me be your host. I've been Tim Lovett, you know what I'm saying? And also, Ride the Comedy Bus, the Chuckling Charlie is the first in the Pioneer Valley. I got flyers here, and if you go to funbuzz.org, you can get all the information. Our next show is June 20th. Now I want to bring up, before y'all leave, so I need your attention, I want to bring up the person who made this possible, who had the foresight to say, I'm going to do something positive for my community, and I'm going to do it. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. I want y'all to help me welcome it, the very inspirational Kendo!
I would really like to thank again Brian, also Gareth and Amelia for helping me to organize this. And thank you guys for coming out and supporting. My heart goes out to you and the community. Thank you. Oh, hi! Hi! Oh, I have nothing else to say, but thank you guys. Thanks.
I want to thank everybody who performed. Say that again. She's graduating tomorrow. Give her a hand for that. That woman is so positive. I just want to put her in my back seat and just drive around. Like, you made a good left turn. I want to thank all the artists. Who was it? Pamela Means? I want to thank Pamela Means. I want to thank Matali Banda. Okay, let me thank Kamaya Diggs. Was that in? DJ Trends. And again, okay, now, she never told me her name. She's like, I'm Mom. So Mom wants to say a few words.
Yes, we want to thank Kendall tremendously for having the vision and being the leader in the youth to bring this to fruition. Yes. Also, she's graduating. However, this should not be the first and only time it happens. It's the beginning. This is the beginning of Juneteenth in this community. And the hope and the wish and desire is that this continues. So it is up to all of us, and it is up to you, once she leaves, to make sure this is not the last of the first. Okay.
All right, thank you. And that's right. We're going to make it. We're going to keep this legacy alive. It's the first, but it's a legacy now. So once again, thank you for coming to the first Juneteenth Festival. I have been your host, and playing you out is DJ Trends. Hit him with that. Hit him with the no. Hit him with something that's gonna make their head bang. All right, peace.
Wellness 365, and it's a holistic wellness business that provides tools and services to help people heal mentally, physically, energetically, or however they need. So whether that's through classes of movement, whether that's through products of healing, I try to provide that to my community.
Could you describe some of the things you have on your table?
Sure. Right now, what's popping on my table is my all-natural bug spray. It's made with all natural and organic materials, no chemicals at all. I have some body oils that have sold out today, which have been really nice, which I think people just need moisturizing. Uh-huh. And I do have some teas that I make on my own, through my own garden and my own herbs that I grow. And I also have a whole bunch of like yoga products, because I'm a yoga teacher. And, you know, I always vouch for supportive yoga, so these are all supportive yoga tools to help you throughout practice.
Where do you grow? Where's your garden?
It's in Amherst. I live in Amherst, yeah.
All right. How long have you been doing this little
This is my 11th year in business.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but I've been vending for about maybe 5 or 6 years now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Consistently.
Yeah. Where do you sell?
Where do I sell? Etsy and on my online store.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How busy does it keep you? Is it like your main thing or a side thing?
It is my main thing. This is my job. This is what I do. Yeah. So I'm always busy. I teach 20 classes a week and I make products. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Where do you teach the yoga?
So I teach yoga at so many different places. One of them is Resonance, which is in Amherst. It's a hot yoga studio. My class is not a hot yoga, but it's a warm and gentle flow with a sound journey healing at the end. I also teach for Andrew's Greenhouse for everyday well-being, and that's also in South Amherst. And I teach something called Mountaintop Yoga once a month, where we hike up Mount Sugarloaf in South Deerfield and do yoga on the top.
Oh, that sounds
really
cool.
So lots of different things.
How did you get involved or passionate about the healing journey?
Well, personally, I had my own medical health scare, and I knew that there were things that I was doing that was contributing to this health scare. So one of the things I started doing was cutting out the toxic things that were in my life, whether it's people, things, food, whatever it was, and then turn into a more holistic side. So I started growing my own herbs and just like kind of experimenting with teas and making tinctures and things like that to help me with the medical health scare that I had. And then it kind of progressed into that. I became a yoga instructor, then I became a meditation instructor, you know, a dance teacher. So like, I feel like, as unfortunate as it is, the medical health scare got me into the wellness business. And I've been there ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share?
Happy Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Thank you for interviewing me today. I appreciate you, and I welcome anybody who's interested in connecting with me or coming to a class. I would love to meet you all.
I don't know if you said this already. Do you have website or Instagram?
You can do, yes, I have a website. It's getting revamped right now, but it should be done by the end of the month. But I'm also on social media. You can find me at Grounded at Wellness 365.
Yeah. How did you connect with the Juneteenth event?
Actually, a few friends of mine had emailed me and told me that there was a vending opportunity and they thought I should be involved. So that's why I came.
So the Zumba and Flow class, what's that like?
So you do 40 minutes of Zumba and 20 minutes of yoga. And so you're basically kind of warming up your bodies and then cooling down with yoga. It's a very beginner-friendly class. We have fun. The music is lively, and it will get you moving. Yeah.
Every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. at Groff Park in Amherst.
That's right.
And how much does it cost?
It is donation-based, actually. So you choose how much you want to pay. No pressure at all.
Yeah.
Also donation-based, too.
Yeah.
This is also donation-based. I try to give back to the community.
Yeah. That's really nice because it can be a disincentive to go to a yoga class and be like, dang, I'm going to have to work 2 hours extra to pay for this yoga class. That doesn't add up.
I've always wanted to make these classes accessible for folks. Because I think that we all need to start moving our bodies more. We all need to start just like healing and the different ways we need to be or whatever it is. And I just think it's a great way to give back. You know, it's not my practice. It's a practice that I've learned from many places, and I want to give back to the community.
But you need to make a living, too. How does it work out for you?
Well, I'm also a professor at Holyoke Community College.
Okay.
And I also sell my products, so that's the way I make money.
Yeah. Cool. What's your name?
My name is Kali Hernandez, but I also go by the world-famous Artunist.
Clever, did you invent that?
Huh?
Did you come up with that?
Yes, yeah.
Can you describe some of your art here?
So a lot of my artwork has a lot of like black, bold lines, and they're really colorful. And I try to like punch the viewer in the eye with a lot of color, and they just make it exciting for them.
How did you get started?
So I've been doing art all my life, but about 5 years ago, I decided to take it seriously, and I've just been doing it ever since. It's been a crazy ride, but I'm glad I chose to like really try to use my gifts and abilities, you know.
Uh-huh. Where do you try to get your art out? Or do they like sell it online?
Yeah, so I usually do vending events. I have been in galleries, I've also been in schools doing programming. Like, I pretty much have done everything under the sun. Ice sculpting in Northampton. Oh. I've done the Chalk Festival. Uh-huh. I've done a lot.
Where are you based?
I'm based in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay. So this, feel free to stop if you want to. So this poster here,
yeah.
The card declined.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the inspiration for this?
So this was actually something that happened to me while I was at Dollar Tree. I had money, and I went to the store, and I was just trying to buy a couple things, you know, for my kids and some stuff like that. And my card declined. And the lady behind me was like, let me pay for your stuff. And I was like, you don't have to. She was like, no, it's cool, I want to. And she ended up paying for all my stuff, and it was $8.75. It was $8.75 she paid for. She brought some Gatorade, some Lunchables, some hand wipes, some water, and some chips for me.
Uh-huh.
So what I did was I had done some vases, and I painted the vase, and then I gave it to her. I was like, this is gonna be worth something one day. And I just gave her the vase in return for paying for my stuff. And it kind of lends a hand to, you know, people paying it forward, you know? And that's kind of like the story behind it. And actually, this piece got stolen from me. The original got stolen, exactly, right? The irony of it all, right? Is that the original piece actually got stolen from me,
uh-huh.
And then I had to recreate it. So it was like, this is the third time I had to like make this piece over.
Wow.
Yeah.
What kind of attitude, it says gratitude is the attitude.
Yeah.
Well, how is your attitude making it the third time?
So when the piece actually got stolen, it was a whole conundrum of stuff that happened that day. Like I had a flat tire, like you name it. Like I was exhausted, I was an hour late to this event I was going to. And then I had left my stuff there the next day, it got stolen. And it kind of taught me like, oh, my artwork is actually valuable to somebody enough to steal. So it was like, oh, it gave me validation as an artist that, oh, your work is actually worth it. Like, you can keep doing this. So that kind of lends a hand to the attitude of gratitude, you know?
Sweet. Well, thank you for sharing it. Thanks for getting this message thank out you. There. Anything else you
want to
say?
I got some stuff coming up in September. I'm doing a rage room and an art exhibit combined at BTS, Breaktime Springfield, in Springfield, Massachusetts, downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that'll be a cool event. And that's pretty much it.
How can people contact you or find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at artunis365, or you can find me on my website, artunis365.com.
I like that handle or tag. You don't have to spell it out.
Yeah, no. Most people can figure it out.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet, thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much. What's your name again?
Ruthie.
Exactly what I said. I'm like, okay, so.
What's your name?
Robin Griffith.
And you describe your.
I do a lot of mixed media art, uh-huh. And my focus is mostly on Black women and women of color, mm-hmm. And other marginalized groups. That's a big part of my art. I like to do things like, everyone say political, I'll put that in quotes.
Yeah.
Just talking about, you know, social justice, but doing it in an art form. Mm-hmm. And I really like mixed media a lot. I got into that about 6 years ago when I started doing more of these types of mixed media with transfers onto canvas or wood. And then I overlay it with collage material or spray paint.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lots of layering. I love layering and like building up the layers and seeing what comes of it. I love really bright, bold colors.
Uh-huh.
As you can see, like I just like that a lot. And I started off as doing photography. That was like my first love. And I've moved into painting and mixed media. Still do pictures, but mm-hmm. I'm doing more painting right now, mm-hmm. and more mixed media.
Who are some of the people on your wall of
paintings
here?
I did a series when I first started doing mixed media. These are 5x5 wood pieces, and the series was Women of Color Are Political. Mm-hmm. So I did, and that was like kind of my first kind of foray into really playing around with the mixed media and the transferring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have Kamala Harris, I have the squad, I did one of Stacey Abrams, And after that, I, you know, have gone a bit bigger. I 8x8, 10x10. And I also did a series about women who lost their children to police violence from guns. Tragedies, Tears, and Triumph, which were bigger pieces, 24x24. And I showed them at Bombex in 2024. And then I had a solo show, and those pieces were there with some other pieces at Northampton Art Center last year. So that was my first solo show ever. And yeah, so I've just, you know, I stick with that theme is important, but I also do stuff that is fun and, you know, it's not necessarily political, but I always have that piece with the social justice piece within my art.
How much time would you say you spend in a week doing this kind of work?
Not as much as I like.
Yeah.
You know, I stay at home. I have a 14-year-old at home who's unfortunately dealing with a lot of medical stuff, so that takes up a lot of my time. But I try to sneak in any moment I have to do something art-related. Uh-huh. When I'm working on a piece or a series, I'm pretty focused because I really have figured out what I want to do. Uh-huh. And it's just like, I do one part and then I'll come back to it. And it could take me weeks or months to finish something. Yeah. Like works like these, you know, this was from a series of, these are Black Lives Matter photos, which I transferred into wood. So something like this took me, I would say, about a month, but I just did one piece, wait, stop, go back. So it's like a process. I don't really do anything like that in one sitting.
Yeah. It,
you know, whatever I can find, and also I have to also be in the mood.
Yeah.
I can't, like, oh, I'm gonna do this now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What's like an image or something that inspired you recently?
These are my most recent works. And yeah, I just, one of the things I liked about the images was they felt so strong, you know, and, but I also, it's always about celebrating the subject matter. I use a lot of flowers, floral, you know, pieces within the images a lot. And the color, the vibrant colors are also part of giving that energy to what I'm trying to communicate.
Can you just say where can people find you on Instagram?
Instagram, mostly Instagram. I do have a Facebook page too, but I post mostly on Instagram.
Is it like a tag, your name?
Or Robin G Photo Art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Robin.
No, thank you.
All right, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. You've been listening to clips from this past Saturday's Juneteenth Festival in downtown Northampton. That was June 6, 2026. And thanks to Robin, Kali, Tiffany, Tim, Kendall, Arpad, Elsie and Inya, Yumi and Jasmine for sharing about their work and their art and their work in the world and their presence there. There's other Juneteenth celebrations coming up. Since today is only June 12th, let's see, in Holyoke at Wisteria Hearst on June, I think this is the 19th. Yeah, on June 19th, actual Juneteenth, from noon to 3, there is celebrations in the garden there. And also, the third Afro-Caribbean History Through the Arts, an intergenerational event highlighting Haitian, Afro-Taino, and Afro-Cuban traditions will be happening Juneteenth from 4 to 5 p.m. at Lyman Park and St. Paul's Church, followed by performances and conversations from 6 to 8 p.m. at Holyoke Media. And also in Springfield, the Juneteenth Jubilee is both Saturday, June 19th, and Sunday the 20th at Blount Park. You can look up Juneteenth in Western Mass and find out those things. Thanks for listening to Out There Today. I'm your host, Ruthie, who also today is Arts Night Out in downtown Northampton. Lots and lots of events, second Friday of the month. Look up Arts Night Out. There's like free concerts, shows, all kinds of things going on. And there will be Bike Lab tomorrow. Tomorrow, June 13th, Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at 12 Northern Avenue. Come get help fixing your bike or your scooter or whatever kind of wheeled transportation device you have. And what else? You can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/outthereArchive. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!, coming up at 5 o'clock.